looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master's of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Matt Slick doesn't take any Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
My question is, when you die, does it hurt when the spirit leaves your body?
Nothing in the Bible says that. When our spirit goes to be with the Lord, it's not ever said to be painful. Pain is for the physical body. When the physical body dies, then there's no more pain. Your spirit just goes to be with the Lord.
Number 5.
During the rapture, what happens to my body?
It is resurrected into a glorified body at the rapture.
So something happens to my body. I don't become spiritual body. I'm still...
Well, technically, you do become spiritual because in 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 45, it talked about the resurrected body being the spiritual body. In that terminology, yes. But it's a physical body.
A little nerve-wracking.
Why would it be nerve-wracking?
I don't know. I think just because I think I'm very earthly-minded.
Oh, I know. I'm afraid of heights. I got stuck in a tree
exactly.
When I was a kid. Well, I'm just going to assume that during that all those weird phobias and fears and stuff just vanish with us. We'll be with them.
Number 4.
I have a grandniece. She's kind of gotten into the tarot card reading thing.
Okay. Does she say she's a Christian? Does she have any Christian background?
She always has, yeah. Mm-hmm, definitely.
She's getting mixed up in tarot cards. Try this. This is one of the things I've done in that situation. I've said, tarot cards, huh? Okay. So explain to me how they work. They'll explain what it is. Now, what I'm going to do is ask, do they work? And they're going to say, well, yes. Can you show me how they work? And I'm going to be gradually moving towards more difficult questions. And what I want to get to is, what's the source of power behind it? Is it good or is it bad? How do you know if it's good or bad? How do you know if it's not something that's being deceptive? I mean, why is it that cards can determine your future?
Number 3.
I grew up attending predominantly African-American churches.
Okay.
And I observed believers shouting, doing the shouting dance. I've seen the wigs fly off. I've seen chairs knocked over. I've seen all of it. My question is, I want to make sure that shouting in church is biblical.
Sure it is.
Okay.
Psalm 27:6. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I remember when seminary, I had a black friend, and he said, that's good. Come to my church. I go, great. When the pastor walked out, everybody stood up and started applauding, and I didn't like that. I thought, you don't applaud for this guy,
right.
You know? And then I talked to my friend about it. He says, oh, no, man, you got it all wrong. They're applauding for the man who's bringing the word of God. I went, oh, okay. So I stood up and started clapping.
Number 2.
This critical race theory, just kind of wanted to see what your thoughts were on it so far.
Social justice is a secularized movement that presupposes a certain moral values, which it cannot ground as being correct. It's a godless system. It's creeping into some of the churches and denominations because a lot of pastors and elders can't think their way out of a wet paper bag and don't know what the Bible says about certain things. It's the view that there's inherent racism in all aspects of society. But in order to reconstruct society, it's not done internally through the gospel and a changing of hearts, but it's done through forced social change, riots, marching, mayhem. So what happens is that the people who are in power, so to speak, in power, whoever they are the ones who can either become an oligarchy, and then they divvy out what's right and wrong to the people below them. It destroys an economy, it destroys a society, and it causes more racism. It causes it. James 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When we encounter various trials, for one, it's because of what God has allowed to come into our lives. I'll tell you what happened with our son. At the time that my wife and I lost our son, Jacob, he had a birth defect. And I was making almost no money. And not that money is a big deal. It is and it isn't, depending on circumstances. But I was making below the poverty line. And I remember getting word and having to have someone drive me to where my wife was. She had the car for the medical situation. Sorry, it's coming back to me. And we are sitting there. She's to my right. And the lady said, she gave us the bad news, saying that he'll probably die shortly after birth, and if he lives, he won't be very viable, as we say. And she offered abortion, and I'm so proud of my wife. She instantly said, don't ever bring that up again, we're never going to abort our baby. My wife's faith was in Christ, not the circumstances, not our lack of money, our having only one car, a son who's going to pass away. We endured through that trial. God provided people, and he provided things. A woman who had helped someone else go through the exact same birth defect, which was one of 58,000, and knew somebody who did the exact same thing and prepared us for it. We didn't even have money, have enough money for tombstone. And then a man appeared, he was in street clothes, and he waited for the funeral to be over. And he handed me a check for $1,000, just enough to pay for the headstone and the funeral costs. God provided what we needed, and our faith just flourished because it wasn't in our circumstances. It was in our Lord and our Savior. But know sometimes, just as he had to go through things, he had to go through his trials, we do too.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.